Grab your Bibles and let's jump into Daniel chapter 2. Last week we started a series in the book of Daniel, and we're probably going to stick it out for quite a while. God's got me trapped here, if you would. Not trapped, I guess mesmerized. Is that a better word? Last week we talked about some things. I'm going to encourage parents, okay? I don't know if we got this online or not. I know we got it recorded. But last week we were led to a little mini sermon for teenagers that I think every teenager needs to hear. And not because it's something that we said, it's something that I believe God really brought out on how generations are trying to strip away identities. And I see that really heavy in our teenagers right now. And I see it heavy in our adults as well. I mean, everything we have in our society tries to model us into a mold that they're trying to make for us. Would you agree? Anybody else notice that sometimes you're comparing your lives to other people, or you're comparing your successes or your failures to other people? How many of you do that from time to time? It's not all the time, but maybe time to time you do that. Maybe if you're the parent, you're looking at other people's kids saying, why don't my kids behave like that? Or maybe you're the ones that are sitting there just thinking, okay, why don't I have what they, if I had the money they had, I would be, you know, you ever been there? All right. Listen, be careful. Can I say this? Stop trying to fit God into the mold of your life and remember that God is molding himself through your life. That he shaped you and fashioned you. If we go to Psalm, don't we hear that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, intricately made? In Ephesians, you're a masterpiece that's created for his glory, good works. That's what he's doing in Ephesians 2. I mean, God has created you as the mold of which he wants to show himself through. I mean, it's not like, okay, God, I want to fit into your plan. It's, I am your plan. You are God's plan today. You are the person that God's called into the world to not be part of the world, but to come be separate and to lead others into that separation. You're the one that God's saying, hey, you know, if somebody's trying to yank you into a bathroom to try to distract you from what God has, you're not going to go. If somebody's trying to bring their mood and place it on you and you're happy, but they're not, so they're trying to bring you down, you're not going to go that way. You're not going to fall into the mold of what other people try to make you. So today we're going to kind of look at Daniel as he was separated, right? As he was in a position like other people had positions, he was high up in Nebuchadnezzar's royalty. But Daniel separated himself through the power of God, not through his own ability, but through the power of God. And we're going to look at this today. I'll be honest with you, Travis, God's really inspiring him to label the messages. I have no label for the series. I don't even know what to call it. But I do know that there's something in here today that if you'll open yourself to, if we'll be available to, that God will use in each and every one of our lives. And we need to grab hold of this truth today. All right, so you ready to dive in with me? All right, are you? How many of you got your Bibles? You ready to go? You got a Bible app? You ready to go? Pen and paper? You ready to go? All right, if you're at home, I hope you're active, that you're not doing your laundry, that you've actually sat down to pay attention and listen to God's word. All right, I know it's easy. It's easy. We live in a COVID age where we've made everything convenient instead of right. All right, can I tell you this? It's easy to walk around your house and try to do all your dishes and all these other things, but I'm going to ask you and challenge you today, if you're in our online crowd, stop what you're doing and focus. Just sit down, grab a pen and paper, and let God speak to your heart, all right? Don't try to figure out the best fabric softener. Ask God to soften the tissues in your heart today, all right? So here it is, ready? It says, one night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such a disturbing dreams that he couldn't sleep. Ever been there? Anybody? Yes, come on now. It's the first of the year. You're supposed to be excited and starting out with new ambitions and all these other things. I start a diet tomorrow with about 100 of you. Let's see how long we last. I mean, all these things are going on, right? Like, yeah, this is a good day. Come on, church, it's a good day. You're alive, all right? If somebody looks dead beside you, pinch them. Let them know they're real, all right? So here we go. It said this. He called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. I read that and I was like, he called in his Instagram, his Twitter, his Facebook. I mean, he called into the place that he gets his advice from, where he gets his validation from, where he gets his purpose from. Can I tell you this? And I'm going to give you this right now. Be careful who you're getting advice from today. I mean, be very careful what you're putting yourself out there into. I'm going to speak to both of you, the ones seeking advice and the ones giving it. You ready for this? We're about to see what happens when people don't know what to say, what they'll do to your life. All right? And it's called manipulation. All right? I'm going to tell you this, church. Best thing I can ever teach you. It's a proverb, but I'm going to put it into modern language. You ready? When you don't know what to say, keep your mouth shut. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you just stay quiet, people think you're smart. I mean, hey, listen, you could be the dumbest person in the room today. Keep your mouth shut. Everybody think they're intimidated by you. right? You know, just, they teach us in real estate. I don't know, Tony Thomas once taught me this. He said, the best thing you can do when it comes time to close a deal is shut up. The long pause of awkward silence makes the person uncomfortable and puts them in a position where they have to make a decision. And I think in our lifetimes, it's loud in our lives, is it not? I mean, there's a lot of noise in our lives today. There's a lot of people that say, this is what I think you should be, right? We've had that conversation. If we're not careful, I'll look at Andre and I'll see the needs that I have. And when Andre comes saying, hey, God's moving in my life, I'll look at the needs I have and plug him in to my needs. And by doing so, may make him miss entirely what God is wanting to do in his life because we have a need. And he could be good at my need and he can meet that need. But if he is not called to that need, he will suffer and so will the need. Are you with me? There's a lot of people teaching children's church that probably shouldn't be. Not just here, across the nation. Because churches, the hardest position to fill in a church is a children's church teacher. It really is. I mean, somebody keeping the nursery, something. It's difficult. How many of you worked in children's ministry? And we'll say a good amen to that. It's hard. That's the biggest amen I've gotten in weeks, all right? So all these burnout children's teachers, all right? It happens. But here's the thing. The problem we see is some of you are called to it, but you're scared of it. And you've never taught before in your life. You're just scared of it. By the way, the will of God is so great for your life. At first, it will be terrifying. I mean, doesn't a lot of the Bible, they come into the fear of the Lord? I mean, you ever had that moment where you're like, are you for real? Like, God, you know who you're talking to, right? Gideon would say, I'm the poorest of the poor in the weakest tribe, and I'm a servant in the bottom of this wine press. I'm broke, and I'm a warrior? No, I can't even afford a sword. I can't even afford a shield. And then God says, I'm gonna make you a warrior, and all of a sudden 3,000 people show up, and you think you're a warrior, and then he takes them all away. Hey, have you ever been in a lifetime where you thought everything was successful based on the numbers of success you saw around you, only to say God to come into your life and say, your numbers mean nothing. By the way, if you're trying to build your bank account today, thinking that that's what's going to give you the opportunity to serve the Lord, understand there was a rich man that filled all his barns, and God said, you're full, you're a fool. Everything is worthless, because tonight you come home. Tonight your soul's required. I'll be honest with you, there's a time that death will capture your life. But man, it's great to have the Holy Spirit and God capture your life before death gets a hold of it. And that's what our job is it not? To get out here and say, okay, look, God's got better for you. And when I say God's got better for you, that doesn't necessarily mean a nicer house. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, better clothes, better friends, and all that other stuff. It just simply means God has purpose for you that will give you fulfillment. I mean, God has a job for you that'll give you joy. God has a calling on your life that'll give you contentment. Hey, Paul said, no matter where I am, I'm content. And he gave that long list. Why? Because he found that Jesus was everything he'd always been searching for. So look at this. It says, he called his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. And they stood before the king. He said, I had a dream that deeply troubles me, and I must know what it means. Here's what I mean. Some of you got people like this in your life, and they're destroying your life right now. The astrologers look at him in verse number 4 and answer the king in Aramaic, long live the king. Do you think Nebuchadnezzar's in a mood at this moment to hear that? You know what that is? That's the lipstick on the pig. That's the, we don't like you and we don't care about you, but we have no clue what you're about to ask us to do. We have no clue how to interpret this dream, so we are going to puff you up so that you feel good. I'm telling you this right now. You ready for it? 2022 is not going to be the year that Grace Community Church makes you feel good. That's one of the determinations God gave me this year. We're not going to come in here and fluff you. All right? Are you ready? Phil and I, through text, we're having a conversation. It's burning deep in my heart, burning deep in his. I know it's burning in yours. I want to go deeper than I've ever been. Would you write that word down? Deeper. Write it down. Deeper. I want to know God more. Anybody say me too? I want to understand the things of God deeper. I want to get beyond the shallow end of the grace pool. And I want to get into the deep end of grace and mercy and understand the depths of God. And Bible even says, we'll never scratch the surface. No one can know how high, how deep, how wide, how long the love of God is. But I want to die trying to get to the edge of it, don't you? And I'm going to tell you, when you get to the edge, you're probably standing in front of the throne of God. When you experience it and understand it and actually have the mind capacity to grasp it, that God is truly an amazing, all-consuming. He's more than an idea and a dream. He's a reality. He is a Alpha and Omega. He is the things we say he is. We just don't understand it right now. I want to know it. Anybody else say, I want to go deeper this year? All right. I wrote another word, further. In other words, I want to do more for God this year. I want to do the same old, same old. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not content with what God's called us to do, but I'm going to say this. How literally would you take me today if my entire sermon I crawled? I mean, would you think I'm crazy? That's youth in the second row are already making fun of me. If my entire sermon I did this and I just crawled across the stage the entire time, how many of you at some point of the sermon would start thinking, why? Raise your hand. Let's see. All right, Ethan's in there. How many of you say, why? Why is he doing that? Did I dismiss the kids? I did? Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, Ethan's in middle school now. All right, here we go. Ready? All right. Why? He has the ability to do something else, but why? I feel like our churches have gotten content with hosting services. And that is what we're supposed to do. No. I feel like we okay, let's do this. Let's have these positions. Let's sing these songs. Let's do these things. And if we're not, we pick on church a lot. Let's talk about your home. I feel like our homes have gotten content with a routine. You know, where we go to work, we do our things, we parent the kids, we stay at home, we homeschool, we drive this, we drive that. It's every day the same thing, and it's monotony. And our marriages are falling apart, not because we don't love each other. It's because we don't challenge each other. Can I say this right now? God did not put me and Jordan in a relationship for her to agree with everything I do or everything I say. She needs to challenge me at some point and vice versa. You know, we need to get behind each other. By the way, you want to get, if you got a routine this year, you're going into a diet, you're going to an exercise thing, get a partner, you'll go further. You'll go a lot further than trying to do this on your own. I'll never forget when we first started dieting, she could tell me years ago, she started first. I was about the size I am today. She was very skinny, but still dieting, right? And all of a sudden, she would come in, and she was doing P90X. Anybody remember that? You did it in your living room. They gave you these bands. You know, if you're not careful, you're stretching a band. It slips off your foot, slaps you in the face. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know, all right? They got this little pull-up bar you put on your door frame, and it's like you're pulling your house down. You feel like Samson. You get up there, and everything starts cracking above you. You know, it's like, this thing wasn't made to hold me, all right? She's in there. The first time she's working out and doing a P90X, you know what I was? I was in there with her eating pizza. All right? I was sitting on the couch. I was shoving my face full of pizza. Here she is. She even looks. She says, it's not fair that I'm working out and you're eating pizza. You know what? Here's the thing. It's not fair in my mind that you're going to get a result that I wasn't willing to do what it took to get. And I'm sitting here eating pizza wishing. Hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't be a wisher this year. Don't be somebody that says, I wish my faith was stronger. I wish I could do more. I wish I could go further. Don't wish this year. Do. Be this year. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Hey, get out there and say, I'm going to make myself go further than I've ever gone before. We're going to step into the edge of our faith and take one more step. I mean, we're going to go to the cliff of what we believe and then say, okay, God, this is where I end and you begin. Let's go. All right, let's take it. You know, if I trusted you more, I would step off the stage and see if somebody caught me, but I don't trust you that much, right? But the thing is, it's like, understand it. We've got too many people that say, all right, I went to church this week. And then one, you know, by the way, can I say this? Stop wanting your church to be something on Sunday that you've not been all week. That's a real word, isn't it? I want to feel God's power when I go to church. Bring it! I want to see God move. Bring it. Don't step into church and say, make this happen for me. No, step in saying, hey, we're here because God has made this possible today. You live in a free country today that has the deadest churches in the world. Isn't that crazy? Guaranteed, if the churches became persecuted today, they'd be more alive. It's all through history. God help us. We know persecution is coming, but let's not wait for it. Let's get ahead of it. Let's get so on fire for God that it creates the persecution of the church. Let's let God liberate people in such a way that it creates it. Let's get the abused set free. Let's get the addict clean. Let's get the afflicted healed. Let's get them back up on their feet. Hey, let's stand for God's design of marriage. Let's raise our kids to understand their gender in Christ. Let's get them where they need to be so the world gets scared about what God's doing through his people. Right now, the church in America doesn't need attacked. We do enough attacking on our own. I mean, we'll tear down the sinner, won't we? You know, I'll be honest with you. Remember the children of Israel? They were a bunch of complainers, right? Like, oh God, we'd have nothing to eat. Here's manna, now we eat. Oh God, we got nowhere to go. We got this, we got nothing, we got nothing, we got nothing, we got nothing, we got nothing. Then God would move and, oh, praise the God of heaven, and then back to complaining. I mean, I could write America all over the Exodus story. And I'm gonna tell you this now. God will awaken his people. And God will call us out. Can I say this? God is going to come after you one way or the other. He's coming after you with love and mercy and grace all the time. But love sometimes has to discipline. And grace sometimes allows consequence. Are you with me? Because God's going to get your attention. I heard a pastor once say this. I actually said it to, I think Andre and I, when we were having breakfast the other day. We're hell to the believer will be to stand before God and realize you could have done more if you just trusted him. To figure out what your purpose was and realize you wasted your whole life without it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to merely exist on this earth. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. Anybody else? So I want to go further. And then I wrote the word together. We're going to see that in the story today. All three of those words. Deeper, further, together. In other words, like this. I need more kingdom in my life. I need more a community of God's people. Iron sharpened iron. You know what? Phil challenges me. In the fact, he'll send me things that I don't understand that make me dig deeper. How many of you got somebody in your life like that? If not, you need somebody in your life like that. That would say, hey, here's what you know. Have you tried this? Have you seen this about God? Have you dug a little bit deeper into the meaning of God's names? Have you really gone and searched the 365 presences of fear in the Word of God and why they were there and what God's solution was? Have you gone a little deeper? Have you realized? I told somebody the other day, I'm not going to get on the phone and talk to you for an hour and just tell you what you want to hear. If I'm going to give you an hour of my life, we're going to give you real. We're not going to give you long live the king. We're going to give you, let the king live in your life, and you need to die. You need to swallow yourself. So let me give you a real word. Don't beg your husband to go to church if you don't. Don't beg your wife to go to church if you don't. Don't tell your kids to stop cussing if you do. Don't tell them to turn the channel if they see you watching it. I mean, are you with me? We got a lot of people wondering, hey, what do I need to do with my kids? Be an example first. And some of you are, and it's not working out. It will in the end. Some of you are putting everything you got into leading your kids in the right way, and you're wondering, what am I doing wrong? No. Can I tell you this? Those that keep laboring, those that do not quit, those that keep going, the Bible says you'll reap a harvest. Don't give up. All right? The way you stop the harvest is to quit watering the crop. Are you ready? The way you stop the harvest is twofold. Number one, you never plant the seed. And number two, you never cultivate the seed that you planted. I told our teenagers, I think Wednesday night, germification of a seed means the seed must die before it could ever grow. And at some point in our lives, we got to realize that we've got to die to ourselves so that what Christ wants to do in our lives can come alive. Isn't that what Paul said? I got to get up and die how often? Daily. Anybody else say, okay, Paul had it better than me. I got to die multiple times a day, especially in traffic. All right, like I got to die a lot. All right, so here's the thing. We've got to get to it where we're setting examples in the way we live. Not this long live the king. Grace Community Church is not going to fluff you this year. They're going to push you. I gave this analogy, and I've been using it a lot this week. I can't get past it to where I feel like I'm a chess player. Anybody else in here a chess player? Come on, one, two. It's a dying game. We need to bring it back. Three, four, five. All right, let's play. Anybody good? Who said I am? All right, challenge accepted. All right, ready? Not to call out my brother-in-law, he's working today, so I don't know if he's here. I think he might be on shift. So I'm going to talk about him behind his back, trusting he's not watching, although he should be. All right, but here it is. We started playing chess right before he moved out, about a couple months before he moved out, we started playing chess pretty heavy. And I always loved chess. I mean, it's the one game my dad would sit down and play with me for hours. And my dad would wear me out, never let me win. So I got good. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, now that I'm fat, I'm not good at basketball. I'm not good at baseball. I'm old. My knees creak. I can beat you in chess, though. I don't have to move anything but my fingers, all right? So we got this. So one day we were playing, and I beat him. And I told him, you got to stop playing defense. Because you can't win at chess playing defense. If you're always making your move based on what you think I'm about to do, and you're trying to protect yourself from what I'm about to do, you'll never win. In chess, it's about offense. And you got all these powerful pieces, and for those of you that don't understand chess, go Google it later. They don't all do the same thing. And if you properly place them and work them together, the whole goal is to take out the king on the other team. And as you work them together, as you're planning, as you're going, you're always on the attack. You're always putting the enemy at bay. I believe too long, churches, especially Grace, has been playing defense. Let's maintain. Let's keep our people. Let's keep our programs. Let's do these things. And I believe firmly in my heart that God did not send Jesus to die on a cross as a defensive mechanism. That God put his greatest weapon, his champion, in a grave and rose him from the grave so that the kingdom would be on the offense, going after the enemy, positioning the body where it needs to be so that we will take down every work of the enemy and what he's trying to do in people's lives. And today, we need a people that says, I'm not going to make my move out of fear of what Satan may do. I'm going to make my move trying to make Satan afraid of what God's about to do today. We got to go more kingdom. The kingdom needs to be on offense. Kingdom needs to go. The astrologers, long live the king, tell us your dream, and we will tell you what it means. There's a manipulation. You know, here's a guy saying, I don't know what this means. And here's these other people saying, tell us what you dreamed and then we'll make it what we want it to be. I mean, it was a plan. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Ready? You do not need to get marriage advice from people whose marriages have fallen apart. Get marriage advice from people whose marriages have been tested but have taken that test to God and passed. You do not need to get advice, teenagers, on how to date from somebody who's trying to date themselves. I hate to say this, and I don't mean this bad. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend does not need to be your number one advisor in your life. They're at the same level as you, trying to figure this out. That's what God gave you, a mom and dad. And that's why you probably hate mom and dad a lot of times, because they give you advice that your boyfriend and girlfriend wouldn't give. You know why they give you advice? Because they care more about what they get out of you. And let's be real, a lot of boyfriends and girlfriends only care what they can get out of you. A lot of friends only care about what they get from you while they got you. And then when you're gone, or they don't like you, what do? They drop you. How many of you adults or kids have been dropped by somebody you thought would never leave? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, testify. They need to see this. How many of you have been dropped by somebody you thought would never leave? Stick it up in the air. Look around. Everybody look around. There's nobody immune. No age group immune. It's happened. All right? You cannot put your faith in somebody that has not been tested and tried. And here they are, and they're like, tell us your dream. It's like this. I get it a lot. We're going through this. Well, I will pray for you. Great, that's not your best advisor. Yeah, your best advisor will pray for you. But your best advisor will always bring it through Jesus in front of you. So, hey, you know what? I'm going to meddle. If you have girlfriends that are tearing down their husbands and your husband, you need to change your friend group. Or your marriage will die under their spell. If you have guy friends who are always tearing down their wives or tearing down their children, you need to change your friend group, because their advice will cripple the way you think. If you have friends that are always saying one time won't hurt, or nobody will know, or well, I'm starting to hear this one a lot more. Well, it's socially acceptable. All right? By the way, write this down. There are a lot of things that are socially acceptable today you'll never find in heaven. There's a lot of things today and truths today that people are saying it's okay, that'll never be present there. You say, well, I don't want to lose a friend. You ain't got one if you've got somebody who does not care enough about your life to point your life in the right direction. You don't have a friend if your friend is just saying what you need to hear. A true friend sticks closer than a brother. Anybody else ever had a disagreement with their siblings? You know, If I were to go down to our Well, let's do it. Aiden, I'm not going to bring you up here. Aiden, how old are you now? 12. Do you ever disagree with your brothers and sisters? How often? A lot. I mean, you can't even get a number. It's a lot. It's there's no end, right? I'll promise you this. If I were to ask him, do you love them? Yes. Yes, he does. They could have had the worst fight in the world coming into church today. If Ethan went and picked on one of them, Aiden is immediately going to be unified with his family after Ethan. Anybody understand this? Have you ever seen the family that hates each other until you showed up? And now they have a common ground, and guess who they're after? You. You know, you cross mama, you get the cubs. You cross the cub, you get the mama. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's what the Bible's trying to paint, this picture in your mind. The brothers don't always get along, but they stand together. The family doesn't always get along, but they're there. How many of you would agree that DJ and Travis are inseparable? You know what I mean? You see one, you normally see the other. If you don't see the other, they're at work. That's pretty much it. They're close. They're in sight. They're communicating. They're there. They're family. You know, I went and we did our Christmas with my family yesterday. And by the way, I appreciate your prayers. It's getting better and better and better. It's like God's opening doors. Yesterday, can I tell you, honestly, for the first time, and I know this is online, for the first time ever, I didn't want to leave. Isn't that cool? I mean, I think a lot of times we bring our requests, but can you celebrate that with me? For the first time, I just sat there and I was like, you know what? This is fun. It went quick. And then all of a sudden, a storm came through and we had to go. And the last thing I said before getting in the car is, can we please do this again other than Christmas? Like, can we get back together? You know why? Because even though there may be years apart, generations apart, family is family. Aren't you glad of that? That even if you're the wayward child that God has adopted into his family, that you're still a child and you're still someone that God loves and God will still pursue you. Matter of fact, every angel in heaven would come to your defense if God would order it today, even if you're the worst of the worst when it comes to the believers in the house today, because you are a part of the family of God and no family leaves any family behind. And here's what we're saying. You don't have somebody in your life that's a friend if they're not honest with you. All right? Some of the greatest things in my life are the people that have stood in my way, got in my way, and stood with me when I was in the way of what God wanted to do in my life. Hey, there are going to be people in your marriages, in your jobs, in your careers. I've shared this story before. I'll share it again. Never forget, the lady's name was Libby. It's not the Libby that goes to church here. I saw her here today. It's not her, all right? This is years ago. I'll never forget working at a travel agency, working hard, trying to get my way up the ladder. All of a sudden, the boss hired somebody for the job I wanted. Anybody ever felt that pain before? As I was sitting there, she started saying, if I was you, I'd go tell him off. I'd tell him what I think, blah, 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 blah. Here's Libby that showed up 45 minutes late to work every single day. Not the best model of what an employee should be. But she sat right here and I sat right here. And the person that got the job I wanted sat right there. So I got what I wanted ahead of me, and then I got the negativity in my ear behind me. So I got up from my desk after listening to her. I just walked in there and tell him off, and I walked in there and I told him, to which I'll never forget, he said, shut the door. And every bit of bravery I had went out the window as soon as I heard those words. It's like it didn't work. You know what he said? He shut the door. Don't ever be the guinea pig. I'll never forget it. Don't ever be the guinea pig willing to get on the wheel that somebody else isn't willing to get on. He said, you're in here going off fighting somebody else's battle. He was telling me, what you didn't know is I was looking at you for this position, and I was going to give you this. And I mean, he lit into me. If you ever come into my office again and try to tell me how to do my job, you will not have one. That did not feel good. But what he also taught me is she didn't even have the courage to do what she put you up to. Hey, by the way, write that down in your notes. Don't ever be the hamster that somebody else does the test on to see if it works. Don't get marriage advice from somebody that they're not even applying to their own life. Don't give where you're going to church advice from somebody who doesn't even go to church. I hear that all the time. I would never go here. I would never go there. Well, where do you go? Well, I'm not really going anywhere right now. That's not the person you need. That's the person that's just trying to play on your emotions to make themselves feel better. It's all about them. It's not about you. And they will let you burn if the fire got lit. Are you with me? Be careful who you get advice from. If you want to go deeper and you want to go further and you want to go together into a kingdom mindset, then you got to be aware of who you're surrounding yourself with. there's going to come points in your life that are real. Would you agree with me? Nebuchadnezzar is kind of at one of those points. He's so troubled he can't sleep. So this dream has got him tormented. There's something in his life he's got to figure out. You might not have a dream right now that's tormenting you, but you might have a decision that's gotten weighing heavy on your heart. You might be making something major. You might be up against something. You might be fighting a disease or a battle right now, and it's keeping you up at night. I don't know where your situation is. Some of you, you're fighting the call of God that he's got on your life, and it's making it very uncomfortable, and you don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you this right now. Nebuchadnezzar had a good practice. He sought advice and tried his best to find somebody who could tell him the truth and did not settle for just, I'll pray for you. He did not settle for the fluff. He was going to find the answers. Matter of fact, look at it. But the king said to the astrologers, I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you will be torn limb from limb. You don't have the right to do this, by the way. You will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. You know what he's saying? It means so much to me, I will destroy you before I let your advice destroy me. All right, now, please don't write that in your notes. Here's how it should sound to you. I will walk away. We're not talking spouses here. We're talking from outside influence. Please put that in there and make it here. I will walk away from you before I will allow you to destroy my day. Doesn't even have to be your life. I will remove myself from you and your advice before I let your words dictate who I am. Hey, listen, we are being molded, not folded. God is shaping us into what he wants us to be. God is not going to just radically wad us up and discard us. God is really working intricately on your life to shape it into what he wants your life to be. Can I just pause for a moment and talk about astrology? Just a little thing. Some of you know more about your horoscope than you know about John and Matthew and Mark and Luke. I'm going to tell you this. The answer to your life is not in the stars. And it's not in your sign. I don't even know what it was. I was born in April. Don't even care what it was. Are you this or are you that? I'm a child of God that has issues that God is working on. Are you with me? Yeah, so you got a temper because you were born in April. I have a temper because for a long time of my life, I didn't tame it. I didn't have discipline. Anybody else with me? Come on now. You don't sin the way you sin because of what month you were born in. You sin the way you sin because of what focus you have and what God you have ruling your life. And if the King of Kings is ruling your life, the Lord of Lords is ruling your life, your sin's a little bit different. The temptation's still there, but the desire not so much. It's when you make something else the Lord of your life that it gets your desires, and when it gets your desires, it gets you. Y'all got quiet. Verse number 6, but if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me the dream and what it means. They said again, please, your majesty, tell us the dream and we will tell you what it means. The king replied, verse number 8, I know what you're doing. Some of you need to get this today. You need to get this kind of knowledge and wisdom. I know what you're doing. Satan, I know what you're doing. By the way, can I tell you this? If the Bible says the power of life and death is where? In the tongue. I'm going to give you something that I want you to remember. Satan can't read your mind, but he does listen. Some of you think Satan's reading your mail. No, he's listening. He's calling your bluff. That's a great way of putting it. All right? Some of your prayers you need to submit to silence. In this, you find where the Bible says that there's praying in tongues. You know, the tongue of God. You know, and I don't want all of you, some of you will get bent out of shape and start a whole nother message and all this other stuff. But what we're simply saying is there is a language the enemy cannot speak. And maybe we need to stop speaking the enemy's language. You remember when the guys were walking and they are testifying and they're preaching and they got the ladies following them for 3 days, mocking them and all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, and I like this verse, and some of you need this, ready? The verse says, when they had had enough. In other words, when they were over it, they turned around and they rebuked it. And the demon left, and that person became a follower of Jesus and a help to them. Understand this. I think it's like this. Ready? Put it in your notes. When are you going to get sick of listening to what Satan has to say? And when are you going to get so tired of it that you say, that's enough? I'm done. I'm rebuking it in Jesus' name. By the way, I'm going to say this. Some people take that as, I'm going to rebuke people and get them out of my life. And I'm going to say, if somebody's under the influence of Satan, you need to speak the name of Jesus into the situation. But I am tired of people trying to rebuke Satan in other people, yet still watching what they watch on TV. Are you following me? If the F-bomb is every other word of the movie, you need to sometimes get sick of it and look at Satan and said, enough. I'm not going to put this in front of me. I got a little girl that repeats everything. I mean, right now, at 2 years old, she is getting invaded with what she is going to build as her belief system. At two. And sometimes I have a bad habit of saying, dang it. Anybody else? Is my wife here? I just heard her laugh. I didn't even know you were here. All right. Where are you at? Oh, you're right behind Dennis. All right, there you go. Okay. I was like, man, I thought I was getting away with it. All right, anyway. All of a sudden, I'm changing a diaper. And I hear the word, dang it. I'm like, uh-oh. How am I going to look at my girl and say, don't say that? Well, my girl only knows that because she heard me. I know it came from me. Here's why. We don't let them watch movies with language in them. It doesn't go in our home. The language happens. We don't care who's watching. I've heard my wife walk in and tell them, you will turn that off. I love that. Hey, listen, last year when our home got rocked, we started taking it seriously. When we say seriously, you're saying you're too much. I'm going to say this right now. If you want drugs out of your kids, keep it out of their music. And understand that what you hear on the radio is not what they download on iTunes. The same song on iTunes is illicit, explicit, and it's got all kinds of things in it that the radio won't play. And if you've listened to it saying it's clean online, that does not mean that's what they're getting. Hey, I know kids are going to hate me for this, but start chaperoning what your kids are watching and listening to, and start chaperoning what's on their iPhones, and stop chaperoning what is in their history. And you say, well, I don't want to push them away. So you'll give them away? I mean, you'll just let Satan have them because you don't want to be a parent. You want to be a friend. No. We need people that step in and say, we're going to have rules and boundaries. Why? Because I'm not playing defense with these pieces and pawns that God has given me. We are raising warriors that are going to go forward with God. And we are not going to wait for them to find God because the world is making God harder and harder to find. We're going to stand strong and we're going to stand firm. And maybe you call us too much and maybe you say too deep. I just think we got to get to a place in our homes where it actually means something to be a child of God. And it means so much that we're not going to settle for the lies of the enemy any longer. And this might make me, probably would, I'm going to have a hard time. I'm just going to say this right now. Don't ever ask me to let my kids spend the night at your house. It probably won't happen. Unless we know you and background search you and know everything about it, ain't going to happen. My kid's not going to get hooked on pornography because y'all introduced them. Are you with me? You should say the same about me. Amen? You say, well, I want my kids to have fun. You're welcome to send your kids over to my house. Or you come. Let's get to know you. Let me ask you some questions. What kind of things are socially acceptable to you? You say, he is too much. I'll stand before God with my kids. You stand before God with yours. Let's not worry about how we're going to stand on each other's behalf. I don't want my little girl to get used by the world. I don't want my little boy to get corrupted. Any other parents in here say, me neither. Yeah, and guess what? Can I say this? It's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. And we're going to go deeper and we're going to go further. Some things, can I tell you this? If you want to go God to go deep into your heart, maybe you need to dig deep into your heart and get the things out that are blocking him from being able to get there. And look, used to, I didn't care what it was rated and all this other stuff. I was a believer. I was a Christian. But we're not going back right now. We're not going to do those things. You say it's boring. No, I have a lot of fun. I watch a lot of sports and this might not make me cool, but I love cooking shows. Isn't that crazy? I hate to cook, but I love, let me clarify that a little bit more. I like the baking shows. I think it's because I dream of eating their chocolate. But the thing is like I love those kind of shows. I don't miss out on life. And I'm going to tell you this right now. What I'm getting is I'm gaining a better family. I'm gaining a closer relationship with my wife, which in turn, I'm gaining a better relationship with God, because it's hard to have a good relationship with God and not have a good one with your wife, just saying that. All right? And we're experiencing more. I've done more with my family in the past year and a half than I've done in probably the 9 years before. Would you agree with that, Jordan? I mean, it's changing things. Are you saying you're getting it all right? No. Still have a temper problem. Still working on things. Got some anxiety I got to work out, you know, but I'm going to go deeper this year. We're going to set some boundaries. All right. Have I meddled enough in your lives today? You want some more? Let's go. The king replied, I know what you're doing. You're stalling for time because you know I'm serious. Hey, I think it's time we put Satan on notice. That we say, hey, you know what? We know what you're doing, and we ain't going to let it happen. The astrologers replied to the king, verse number 10, no one on earth can tell the king's dream. I got a little note here. Earthly impossibilities always unlock God's possibilities. No one on earth can tell you these dreams. I love that. You know what I mean? I think we're in this to where even believers believe that God can't do something about COVID. And you just proved it. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I'm tired of people dying with COVID. Anybody else? I mean, I know we got them here. I'm tired of it. I got to believe. Do you believe that God could do something about this? And when we say believe, not just say, oh, yes, like kumbaya, but true belief that God can protect your family and rescue you, that God can heal the families that have hurt from the losses of COVID. And by the way, part of the healing for Brenda's family is you. There's an absence in her home that should be filled by the presence of us. Now, she would give anything to have him back. I know that. And we could never replace. But my God, we can care and make sure she knows she's not alone. Are you with me? We can be there. And I just got to believe that we've got to get back into the church that we come in without hope, but we come in with expectation. I'm not saying you should be hopeless, but I'm just simply saying a hope in Christ should turn into an expectation of result. We need it. No one on earth can tell of the king such a dream, and no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. And no one except, I love how Satan always sets the stage for God. No one except the gods, all right, I love that, can tell you your dream. And they do not live here among people. Whew. I might not make it through the rest of this sermon because I feel like something right here needs to happen. You're looking at a group of people who believe in a God that they don't believe in. No one except the gods, and the gods don't live here. See that mentality invading Christianity. No one except God can do this. And then they live as if God is not here. Well, all things are possible for those that are in Christ, and we can do anything, and then we file for divorce because we don't like each other. Quiet. And I expected that. Are there biblical grounds for divorce? Absolutely. Can I say that? And if you've been divorced or you've been through that, this is not judgment. This is not. Let that go. This is about where you are. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach a whole sermon, if God allows it, it's in development right now, about not there, here. Be here. Not in the past and not in the future. Be here. And this statement's for now. It's not for what happened in your past. It's not for what happened in your future. It's for to set a determination right here, right now. Don't say that God can do anything and then walk out on your family. Don't say that God can do anything and then have an abortion. Don't say that God can do anything and then give up because you feel like you're the only person that God can't do it for. Don't believe in a God that you don't believe lives here. And we have a lot of people that are making decisions in their life and losing their faith and losing their hopes and dreams and surrendering their calling because they believe in God, but they don't believe that God lives here. And we need to believe today. that God is in this place, that God has consumed this place, that God is in your car, that God is in your home, that God hopefully is in your heart because you've accepted him. Today, we need a realization that anything that is possible in heaven is possible right here. And we need some believers that look at people and say, okay, you know what? I believe in God, and only God can do this. And that dream seems impossible, and that calling seems out of reach. But I believe that that God is here. And if God has called you to it, God will equip you for it. God will see you through it. God will bring it to pass. Stop listening to what everybody else has to say about what they believe in your life and what they believe should happen. And believe today that if God gave you the dream, he's giving you the answer. If God gave you the vision, he's giving you the meaning. At some point, what he has promised, he will do. And if 2022 is that in the church, be ready. Be ready for something incredible. There's a lot about God that I don't know that intimidates me. Anybody else say me too? But the intimidation should not stop me from trying to figure it out. Oh, there's no king that's ever asked for something like this. By the way, I'm going to tell this to every adult and every kid. Stop waiting for the call of God to make sense in somebody else's life before you accept it for yours. Because the calling of God is meant to make sense to you, not to them. If it was to make sense to them, it would be their calling. Are you with me? I do this, and I know a lot of you are doing it too. You know God's laid something on your heart, so you go ask somebody if it's okay. What do you think about this? And a lot of times, you immediately lose faith in what God's calling you to do, right? Because what somebody else thinks about it is full of fear and opinion and what makes sense. By the way, write it down. Logical rarely works out in the things of God. God works in the supernatural, not the normal. So stop asking God to give you supernatural results while you're trying normal practices. And believe in God outside of the mundane routine of which you live. And allow God to stretch you further. Are you following? Are you with me? If you understand me today, say amen. Come on, Lucas. All right. There's a lot in 2022 that I know God is calling my family to do, and none of it makes sense. And before you go and people put things to it, we believe it's here at Grace. All right, let's just put this out here. We believe that it's irregardless of the past. We believe that no longer, my wife's believed this for a long time, I'm starting to get a great courage in this, no longer does it matter what has been, what matters is what we're willing to do now. And at some point, we got to step into this and we got to say, I see it. Do you see it? Do you read the word of God and see it? Jesus is coming back. Do you see that? Do you see that there is a kingdom that the devil can't touch? Does anybody else see that? Do you see that there's a power that makes every demon of hell tremble? Does anybody else know that today? Do you see that in the word today? That if we see it, let's believe it. If we believe it, let's live it. If we live it, we'll see it in action. We'll see faith in physical form as God proves himself again and again and again. So we're not going to speak to our teenagers and say, you know what? Yeah, you're going through this and that and the other. No, we're going to say, this is what God has said. It is written. You are not under that spell anymore. You can be delivered by the name of Jesus Christ and the application of his truth. You can walk away from this in freedom. So we will not coddle you. We will carry you. We will cuddle you. But we are not going to stay right here where you are. We're going to let you be delivered. And instead of speaking to demons and kind voices, we're going to speak in the name of Jesus. Instead of hoping somebody gets set free, we're going to declare the freedom through the power of God's word. We're going to believe that an empty grave means a new life. We're going to believe that the same Holy Spirit that walked in 3 days after a death on the cross is the same Holy Spirit walking the aisles today, saying, in this moment, you can be transformed. In this moment, you can be redeemed. In this moment, you can be made new. We're not believing in a God that doesn't live here. We're believing in a God that's right here today. And so when they say no king has ever asked anything, and Daniel hears, right? I'm going to paraphrase the rest. When Daniel hears, they go, and you know what they came to tell Daniel? You're about to be killed. Because Nebuchadnezzar got so sick of it, he ordered every person in leadership killed. And when Daniel heard it, he said, why would he do such a thing? And he went, I'm going to give him by the common names you know, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's close here. Verse 17. Daniel went home and told his friend Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. This is where I got the word together. You know what I love? Later, their lives would be threatened. Never have I caught this before. Let me give you something. Maybe if you've been in the Word of God before, you've missed this too. Maybe you're smarter than me and you already got it, but let's give it to you anyway. Often wondered where Daniel was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being thrown into the fiery furnace. Anybody ever ask that? You know what I got out of this? He was ingrained right here. Daniel's life was threatened, not theirs. Daniel. And they saw Daniel stand in the face of the threat of death and believe in God anyway. It's a little bit easier to stand against an idol a couple chapters later when you've witnessed a believer stand and seen God move a couple chapters before. This is good. We're seeing generation and generation and generation of believers being lost to the world. Because when they stand in front of their fiery furnace and they stand in front of their temptation to bow, they've never had the example of somebody who stood in the face of death and called out on Christ and saw God move. But maybe, just maybe, if they saw one champion, they'd become a champion too. And we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego able to stand because there was a man who believed God lives with us. So he goes with them. That's where we got together. And here it is, verse number 18. He urged them to ask God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret. That's where I got the word deeper. God, there's something you know that I don't know. I want to know. How many of you believe today that God knows something about your life that you don't know? How many of you want to know? I want to know. I want to know what grace looks like a year from now. But in order to know what grace looks like a year from now, I got to be wanting to know what God looks like right now. God, what do you want grace to look like right now? And all I hear God say is deeper, mature believers that are hungry for God, hungry to know him more. I mean, think about this. God has every day of your life recorded in his journal already. Why are you worrying about today? Why don't you just go and say, okay, God, hey, good morning. It is January the 2nd. Can you go to your journal and just read to me what you already know about me today? Can you go to 12 p.m. when I'm going to have a meeting? Or can you go to 5 p.m. when I'm going to make that phone call? I just want to know what you already know. Because my fears, they tell me something that's not true. My friends, they are limited in their advice. I like it. Daniel went to them and he urged them to say, God, show me your secrets deeper. I want to know more than what I know about Jesus, than what I know in this moment. I want to know more. God, you know this day. You know this hour. You know this minute. I want to know. Show me. That's a powerful prayer. Then look. This is where I got my other word. So that they would not be executed with the other men in Babylon. And that's where I wrote the word further. I want to do more than what everybody else is doing. And I don't want to do more because nobody else is doing it. I want to do more because I don't want to just settle in my life. I mean, I want to serve God and die having given every ounce. Wade sent me a text. I'm not even going to ask you, Wade. I'm just going to read it. I think I left my phone over here. Last night, hold me accountable, brother. I want to love you with my life while I have a choice. I don't want to ask for your forgiveness when it's over. That's a real statement. I want to love you now while I have the ability to love you. I don't want to lay on my deathbed and look at my kids and say, I'm sorry. I don't want to look at my wife and say, we should have more. We should have dated more. We should have spent time together more. I want to do it while I have a choice, a life to give. I don't want to go to the end of 2022 and look back and say, I wish we would have done this year, and I wish we would have risked this year. I want to be at the end of 2022 looking back saying, wow, look at what God did in a year. I don't want to get to the end of the day and be like, man, I've been lazy. I don't want to get to the end of the week and I don't want to get to heaven and realize that all I did was live for worldly good. I don't want to get to heaven and realize that all my treasures stayed behind when my life moved on. I'm going to get to heaven and realize that every face and every believer that's standing there as a result of the way we lived our lives is a treasure we'll get to stay with forever. I want to give something to Jesus. I want to kneel at his feet. I want to have something of heavenly value. I don't want to live my entire life and get there and wish that I could go back and live my life again. I want to get there and hear him say, well done, you good and faithful servant. I don't want to be executed like the world is executing people left and right in their spirit and their identity and all those things. I want something different. So let's go further. Go further. And here it is, ready? That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised God in heaven and he said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. Some of you need to know that. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Some of you need to know that about Biden and Trump. It gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. You need to know that about your professors. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. In other words, what you don't know, God already knows. Hey, I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked you and revealed to us what the king demanded. Hey, understand this. God is wanting to use you. You don't have to beg for it. Just get available for it. God is wanting to reveal himself to you. You don't have to seek. You just have to say, okay, God, I'm going to put you in my focus. And in seeking, meaning I'm not going to look in the world for things that only you have. I'm going to put you in view and you alone. Are you with me? Hey, if we're going to go further, hey, we're going to see some praise and worship happen this year. We're going to see some excitement happen this year. That's why I wanted to share with you today. You can ask my wife how good it was with my family yesterday for one of the first times. Why? Because y'all have been praying. Some of you have been praying for that for years. Some of you sent me prayers as I was driving there yesterday. And hey, can I stand here today and say, God has heard your prayers. And I got the benefit from them. So let God hear the cry of our church so that people around us can benefit from it. Matter of fact, I'll close with verse 24. Then Daniel went to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. You know what? Hey, when you have a God-side faith, you can walk up to the executor that God had put, hey, that the enemy had put to destroy you. Daniel doesn't go and bypass the guy. He goes straight to the guy that's supposed to kill him and says, don't kill these other wise men. Think about that. I want to give it to you. Daniel said to him, don't kill who? Wise men. I don't know about you, but my first sentence would have probably been, don't kill me. Am I right? Anybody else? Come on, all you religious. Don't kill me. But Daniel was so confident what God had done in him that he realized that what God had done in him was not just for him. It was for other people too. Oh, this is beautiful. God help us that we so believe in him and we so experience him that our eyes get off of us. And then instead of thinking about me first, we start thinking about you. We start thinking about each other. Because I know this. If God has revealed his secrets to me, what do I have to fear? What do you have to fear? If you are a child of God, if you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, what do you have to fear? If somebody kills you today, they promoted you to heaven. If COVID takes you today, open your eyes. You might be looking face to face with Jesus. Are you with me? What do we have to fear? Somebody tell me, what do you have to fear? If you truly believe that the end of this life is the beginning of eternity, what do we have to fear? Nothing. Nothing. And when you have nothing to fear, you stop thinking about you. And you start thinking about the person who's afraid of everything because they don't know him. And he goes to the executor and he says, don't kill the wise men. God's got this. if we were right with God in the way we live, the righteousness of others would matter a lot. Would you agree? It's when I'm not right with God, I matter. It's when I am in a right standing with God, others matter. And we truly do have a nation right now that needs a church that cares about the nation, not the church. We truly have college students that need someone to care about their eternal being and not themselves. We have teenagers and kids. We should be a church that's experiencing God so much that we come to serve, not be served. And if we ever become that church, there's no limit to what this church can do. Every magician, sorcerer, every person in the royal executive branch of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, life was totally spared by one man who said, together, let's go deeper and let's go further. My heart has always, and I know we're in the right county, we're not in the easiest county. Would anybody else agree? There's richer counties in Jefferson County. And they're all around us, it seems. You know, people get mad at me when I say this. The median income for a two-family working home in Jefferson County is $37,000. That's below the national poverty line. And I'm not putting it down, but just simply saying this. Our food pantry matters in this county. Our feeding ministries matter in this county. Fostering matters in this county. It matters everywhere, but there's great needs here. Crime rates are higher here. Addiction rates are higher here. That's typically what happens when you have people without in a county. But there's 137 plus churches here. I've often asked God why he didn't put us on a main highway or put us in a county that was growing. If you're centered in an area that's growing financially, then you're naturally going to grow. But I have learned this to be true. What's naturally going in the world doesn't mean actual kingdom growing in heaven. And we may be placed in an area that's deprived, or maybe placed in an area that's depressed, or maybe placed in an area that's forgotten on purpose. Have you thought of that? Because maybe the families around us are dying because the enemy is placing things. Maybe they're seeking God, but the gods that they're seeking are not satisfying. Maybe we're losing our teenagers to suicide and drugs because we're in a place that people need something more than the normal, something more than just the mundane. Maybe we are in a mission field right here in the middle of McGuire Road, in the middle of nowhere, called to the people that nobody else thinks about, nobody else cares about, nobody else is planning for. Maybe, just maybe, we are here so that we're not to build Grace Community Church, but we're to go out and rescue a community who the world has had its tolls on and who the enemy has wreaked havoc on. And maybe if we can revive the poor county in Tennessee, then that county can revive the state that doesn't have a need that they know of yet. And with that being the case, somebody else has to matter to you other than you. And that is my prayer for 2022. Maybe you can say the words with me. Ready? Together. Say it. Together. Deeper. Further. Say it again. Together. Deeper. Further. Now, this is the third time I'm saying it, so it's real. Tina, you didn't know that. I have to say I'm closing three times before it's over. Andre and I are going into a new season, which we'll tell you about later. We're talking about this iron sharpening iron season where we're going to challenge each other and push each other. And in order to challenge each other and push each other, I told him it can't be one sharpening the other. It's got to be me sharpening you and you sharpening me. You know what that does? That means you have a right to challenge something you see in me that should not be. And I'm going to, and we even said it, it's not going to be easy sometimes, is it? If you see me getting off, you have a right to step into my life and say, hey, don't do this. If I say something that's not of God from a pulpit, you have a right to say that shouldn't have been said. Does that sound fun to anybody? No, we hate criticism, but you know what that does? It gives us a right to say, you're going to get better. And I'm going to get better. We're going to get better together because we want to do way more. But I'm going to be honest with you. I do not want to manage a church. nor do I want to pastor a church. I do want to lead a church. And in order to lead a church, we got to be going somewhere. And in order to be going somewhere, we got to be challenging people to say, let's go. Let's go. So sometimes you've got to be open. We live in a world that cannot be criticized. Now, criticism, when you're just tearing somebody down, is terrible. But we live in a world that we don't give people the right to walk up and say, you've got to change this, right? If you do that, people get offended. I'm going to tell you this right now. You want to grow in God, stop being offended. Stop being so insecure. And allow God the right to step into your life and say, this has got to go. And this has got to come. And we can do it in a loving way. And we can do it in a kind way. My prayer is that if Andre has to tell me something hard, he does it with a smile. Right? We can do it in a friendly way. But you know what we got to do? We got to determine that no matter what it takes, I'm sticking it out. I'm staying in. I'm with you. Let's go. Let's grow. Let's go take back what the enemy is stealing from the lives of the people we love around us. In other words, I wish I had a banner. It would have been so cool. We should stick a flag right in the ground and say, he cannot have Jefferson County. Boom. We're claiming this for the kingdom. And if God gives us something outside of Jerusalem, we'll take it too. But we are claiming this. Watch out. Every addict, here we come. Every hurting, every abused, every afflicted, here we come. And we're not going to come babysit. We're not going to come just to coddle you where you are. We are coming to set you free. Like a thief in the night, he is coming to take us home. So like a thief in the night, we'll take you back from the enemy's grip too. We are coming after you in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to the executioner and saying, you cannot have them. Because God has placed this in me. Boom. So I want to bow your heads, close your eyes. There's no music today because I'd have to go over there and play and it makes me too nervous. It ain't happening. You ready? It cannot be something that one decides on their own and it changes the group. It's got to be a decision each individual makes. And as a group, we go. And if today that is your prayer, whether you're online, maybe you put it in the chat, together, deeper, further. But if today you're saying, okay, God, I feel that calling, I feel that pull, I feel that, and maybe you're not even feeling that calling here at Grace, but you're feeling that where God's taking you. I'm going to ask you to not come get on your knees, but just to come stand in the front of the church. Let's join together. Let's close in a word of prayer, and let's commit 2022 to be the year that we do not live as if God does not live here. But to be the year that we determine if God lives here, we're going to be alive here too. So would you stand with me? Would you come? Would you just stand? I invite you all, visitor, guest, other church member, somebody, you know, if you're from another country, just step, if you're in the balcony, just step to the front of the balcony. Get together there in the middle right there. You don't have to come all the way down the stairs unless you want to. I'm going to challenge you and then I'm going to pray and we're going to close. Ready? Here it is. Listen. I firmly believe God's going to do something incredible here this year. I really do. My prayer is that's every church, not just ours. My challenge to you is don't be the person that waits for the results to get involved. Or don't be the person looking at the results wishing you'd have been involved. This is a real statement. I'm going to leave you with it. The results of faith are where you find reward and excitement. Not at the beginning of faith. Faith is when you're trusting in what you cannot see. And a lot of people never see God do what he wants to do in their life because they're waiting on something definitive or tangible before they make the decision. Start when there is nothing and just be amazed by what God can do. Instead of being on the sidelines, having witnessed what you could have been had you simply trusted God in the nothing. Are you with me? Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and thank you for a new year. Thank you for a rekindled passion and fire. God, I pray that this will not just be a Sunday service, a Sunday message. I got to believe that there's at least one here today that's radically hearing your call in their life. I got to believe there's one here today standing in fear and one maybe tuned in today that doesn't know exactly what it is you're doing, but they're uncomfortable and they're being called. I got to believe, God, that you're working. And so I'm going to praise you instead of request of you, because I know you're the God that never fails and you're the God that never ends, that you finish the works you start. God, I'm going to thank you that you will not give up even if they don't surrender in this moment. So God, thank you for pursuing us, and thank you for being passionate with us, and thank you for caring about us and letting us be a part of your kingdom. Thank you for giving us a call on our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you freely. But God, I pray that our church will unite with a desire to know you more and to go further with you than it's ever been before. May people's lives be changed as a result of decisions that are made here today. You have already decided. We need to decide. So my prayer is, God, that you will not let us sleep comfortably until we are totally surrendered as individuals to what it is that you've called our lives to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, amen.